You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join Vince and me weekly to get in on the action, including tonight after the Dodgers finish sweeping the Rockies. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential, flying solo today because Vince was at the game on Wednesday night, and as I'm recording this, he is probably still sitting in the Dodger Stadium parking lot, and with the game that went almost 4 hours, there's no way in the world I'm waiting an extra hour for him to get home to do a podcast with me. So it's just me. I'm going to talk about the Dodgers' victory over the Rockies. They won 4-2. Kenley Jansen got the save and is angry about it. I'm going to talk about that. Going to talk a little bit more about Zach McKinstry. Going to talk about the relentless offense, and then I'm going to talk about something that's not specific to the Dodgers, but the plan to experiment with the mound being moved back in the Atlantic League the MLB has. I have some thoughts about that. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to ask you, please follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's start with Zach McKinstry again. Not a ton to say, except, man, this guy just keeps on doing it. He almost made a diving catch out in right field. He's turned himself into a really good right fielder, considering that he hadn't played there very much before. He's a very good athlete, and seems like he could probably play pretty much anywhere that you want to put him. And he had a huge home run in the bottom of the eighth inning with the Dodgers up 3-2 and Kenley Jansen warming up in the bullpen and us never sure what we're going to get from Kenley. McKinstry hit a home run to give them one insurance run, and it ended up being not a run they necessarily needed because Kenley didn't allow any runs, but it was a run that made us feel a little bit better when Kenley did walk the first batter he faced. So just one more shout out to Zach McKinstry. He keeps on doing it. I'm a huge fan since the beginning of spring training. I think I mentioned this the other day. When McKinstry said publicly, "Kike left, there's an opening here, and I'm going to fill that spot," I loved it. I love that attitude. I love that, you know, he just saw a spot and he went for it. And he said, "This is mine." And he's proving it. That's his spot, that utility spot. He'll play wherever they need him, and he is going to get the at-bats because he deserves them. So I'm loving it. Big fan of Zach McKinstry. Let's talk about Kenley Jansen. Kenley came in, and like I said, he walked the first batter. He went 3-0 on the leadoff batter, threw a strike, and then ended up walking him. He heard the boos a little bit, and then he ended up striking out the next three batters. Didn't have the same great stuff that he had on Sunday, but he, you know, after that first batter, it was kind of nerve-wracking, but the stuff started to pick up. The velocity picked up a little bit, not quite to where it was Sunday. The command improved a little bit. He did go to another three-ball count, but all in all, it was a solid outing. And I said this on Twitter, I'll take the version of Kenley that occasionally walks a guy, as long as it comes with the version of Kenley that misses bats. You know, for all the talk about him having the highest or the lowest hard hit percentage in baseball last year, that's all well and good, but I want more of a no hit percentage. I want him missing bats. And, you know, obviously the weak contact is good when he doesn't miss the bats. You don't want him giving up home runs, but missing the bats is the important part. And that's what he did. He was able to miss bats when he came back. After the game, a reporter asked Kenley about hearing the boos after the walk. And I'm just going to read a couple quotes from Kenley. I'm going to edit one just because we generally don't swear on this podcast, and I don't swear anyway. So you'll recognize where I've paraphrased a little bit. So Kenley said, "I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to win a ball game. We all want to win here. To me, that's just nonsense. It's noise. I'm going to work my tushy off and help the Dodgers win a championship." And then somebody asked about his velocity, and he said, they don't pay me for velocity. They pay me to get guys out. That's for you guys to debate. And, you know, all in all, I think I agree with Kenley. You know, we did talk on Monday's episode about how nice the velocity was, how good it was to see that. And obviously, there's a lot more margin for error when you are throwing 94 with a ton of movement. And so, while Kenley's right that he doesn't get paid for velocity, it does help him get the outs. And so, and he knows that, you know, he's not dumb. But, you know, he's right that as long as he gets the outs, that's what matters. And especially if he's getting the strikeouts, I don't care if he strikes a guy out on a, you know, 86 mile an hour slider or whatever it was to finish the game tonight, or if he strikes him out on that wicked 94 mile an hour cutter that he struck out Starlin Castro with on Sunday. It doesn't matter a ton. But the strikeouts are really good to see. And more to the point, Kenley, he looked mad when he heard the boos, and obviously some of it, I think, was mad at himself. You walking the leadoff hitter, you know, I said, I can accept the version of Kenley that walks some guys. Ideally, it wouldn't be the leadoff hitter very often because Kenley, as you know, isn't the best at holding guys on. And so it just makes for a stressful inning. So that's why I was thankful for McKinstry's homer. So even if that dude had scored, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. But, you know, we don't want him walking the leadoff hitter, and ideally wouldn't walk anybody, but Kenley, he was angry at walking that leadoff hitter, angry at the boos, and he stepped up. And to his credit, when he got mad, he got more focused instead of losing it. And we've seen that from Kenley sometimes in the past where his emotions get the best of him. You know, Austin Barnes did a good job calling for that slider to Tapia to end the game. You know, all in all, it was a really good outing. And, you know, Kenley still gets a lot of love from the fans, and I think he knows that the fans love him. But, you know, having a Kenley with a chip on his shoulder, so far I like it. I like the version of Kenley that has a chip on his shoulder, and I am all in favor of him continuing to have that chip on his shoulder if it means he continues to pitch well. Everybody else pitched well. You know, Dustin May he was really good through four innings, ended up getting knocked out in the fifth, gave up the two runs. But then the relief, really solid outing from everybody. Blake Treinen looked good. Victor Gonzalez looked good. Corey Knebel looked good. Scott Alexander eventually looked good. It made us a little bit nervous. But yeah, it was a good, solid team victory. And Kenley has a chip on his shoulder, so I'm happy about that. So I'm going to come back in a minute and talk more about the offense and how it just wears you down as a pitcher and makes you wish that you had chosen a different profession. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me and Vince, other fans, athletes, insiders, in real time about your favorite team or sport. Vince and I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Dodgers once a week. We've done a few so far. I think we've done three so far. We're doing one again tonight, immediately after the Dodgers-Rockies game ends, so you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to here every day. It's a perfect place to start or join conversations about baseball. You have the chance to chat with me and Vince. Might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Dodgers podcast through our locker room conversations. So be sure to join us tonight, immediately after the Dodgers-Rockies game. It's a smart fan's alternative to David Vasse. So go to the free Locker Room app right now. Download it. Available currently on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me there at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. We're planning on being live this week, as I said, tonight, after the Dodgers-Rockies game. We can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on the Dodgers, so we will see you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. RockAuto.com is an online auto parts dealer, a family-owned business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, and they just do it right. Their prices are great. They have every part you could need. Website is easy to use. You just go, you pick, okay, I have a 2018 Chevy Suburban. That's what I have. That's why that's popped into my head. And it pulls up and says, here's all the parts we have for your Suburban. Oh, I need something, you know, blah, blah, blah. Find the part. Boom. Wow, this costs a lot less than it does down at AutoZone. Well, of course it does. There's not the middleman, and we don't rip you off just because you're not a mechanic. They give you the best price that you're going to get anywhere. They have easy returns, great customer service, everything about it. If you ever need auto parts and you're not using rockauto.com, you are literally throwing money away. Not literally, but figuratively throwing money away. So the next time you need auto parts, go to rockauto.com. And when you buy something, they will say, how'd you hear about us? And you'll say, Locked On Dodgers sent me. And they'll say, oh, that's cool. We like those guys. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about this Dodgers offense. You know, we saw this again on Wednesday night. John Gray was pitching. He's had two good starts to start his season. And then the Dodgers made him throw, 35 pitches in the first inning. He ended up only going four innings, which was actually, I think, more than people might have expected after that first inning. But you know, the Dodgers knocked him out. They got to the bullpen. They weren't necessarily able to capitalize as well as you might have hoped. The only run they scored off the bullpen was the home run that McKinstry hit off Bard in the eighth inning. But getting that bullpen, just, you know, it's always going to be a benefit. And I was looking, this has been a running theme. And we talked about it at the end of spring training, how even though you don't have the same benefit in spring training of knocking out a starter early necessarily, the Dodgers practiced that, practiced having these tough at-bats, knowing that that's part of their secret to success in the regular season and the postseason is wearing down these starting pitchers. And I'm just looking, I made a list of the pitch counts, and the three games against the Nationals stand out. The Dodgers didn't see a ton of pitches in those three games, 104, 133, and 119, eight innings each of those games, obviously, because the Dodgers won at home. But, you know, so nothing amazing. But I'm going to read you all 12 of their games, just the number of pitches the Dodgers have seen in these games. 190, 169, 170, 162, 223, 147, 169, and then the National Series, 104, 133, 119, and then back to the Rockies, 169, 177. That's a total of 1,932 pitches in 12 games. That's an average of 161 per game, and an average of 18.6 per inning. That's just, you know, it really is enough to make a starting pitcher say, why did I sign with a National League team knowing that I'm going to have to play the Dodgers? It's not a fun time for a starting pitcher to go out there and be like, crap, I just looked up, it's the second inning and I'm at 44 pitches. Seriously, how am I supposed to throw my six or seven innings if they're seeing 18 to 20 pitches per inning? 18.6 pitches per inning. I know that 100 isn't a magic number for pitches, but say, you know, roughly 100 is a limit for a pitcher. That means guys are never even going to get to go six innings. Six times 18.6 is 111.6 through six innings. So really you're looking at five inning starts. That is frustrating for a starting pitcher, and that gets you to these bullpens sooner, gets you in there quicker. The Dodgers are going to face the Padres this weekend. The Padres bullpen is kind of a question mark for them. If the Dodgers can knock out the Padres starters early, that's a big benefit for them. No matter who they're facing, this relentless offense and what they do, and it's not just, you know, I think I said this before, you know, they could have a seven pitch at bat every time and strike out, and that wouldn't be good. But it's that they're working walks. They are getting hits late in the count. They're doing all these things that, including base runners and scoring runs. And so everything compiles together, and it's just one of those lineups that you, as a pitcher, I imagine it gives you nightmares. You just look at it and say, holy crap, I have to face them. And so it's one of my favorite things, even though, like, I know that, like, walks and taking a lot of pitches isn't the most exciting brand of baseball in general, but it's one of the things I love about this Dodgers team. I love watching Max Muncy go up there and just spit on a close pitch. We saw it in Wednesday night's game. Matt Beatty and Chris Taylor both spit on close two strike pitches that the umpire made bad calls on and called them out on strikes. And that's going to happen sometimes. But most of the time, umpires are going to get the calls right, and you're going to, you know, a pitcher is going to make just what he considers a perfect pitch, and the Dodgers here just watches it go, takes ball four, or takes a pitch, you know, waits until he gets a pitch he can hit. And it's just, it's so fun to watch as a Dodger fan. I don't know if it's fun for you guys. I'd be interested to hear if you guys enjoy that part of the game as much as I do, because I agree that in general, walks and taking pitches isn't that exciting, but for whatever reason, because I'm so personally invested in the Dodgers' success, and it's so fun to watch that pitch count climb up and watch the starters get frustrated, I love it, and I'd love to hear if you guys love it too. All right, I'm going to take one more break, and then I'm going to come back and talk about MLB's idea to experiment with moving the mound back. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA, NHL, and MLB are in full swing, and with BetOnline, you can even bet on awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on pretty much anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is simply the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. And not just free. If you head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON, no spaces, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I'm back for one last segment. I'm going to talk a little bit about MLB's plan to experiment in the Atlantic League, which is an independent league. They're experimenting with moving the mound back 1 foot to 61 feet, 6 inches. And, you know, there's a few different things to be concerned about here. One is simply the fact that these independent leagues, like, I know they partnered up with the league, but Alex Wood, I saw him tweeting about this saying, why would any pitcher ever choose to play in the Atlantic League knowing that they're being experimented with? You know, anybody playing in the independent leagues is trying to get back to affiliated baseball, the major leagues or at least the minor leagues. And if you're a pitcher, are you really going to say, okay, I'm going to go throw from 61 feet, 6 inches, just totally do something I've never done before, and that's my best chance of getting back to the big leagues? I really don't think it is. And because of that, it makes me wonder how effective the test is going to be. Because if you don't have, you know, say the quality of pitching drops in the Atlantic League because the better pitchers aren't willing to play there, well then, you're going to see offense pick up more and in different ways than might just be attributable to moving the mound back. And so I'm a little bit worried that the nature of this experiment will lead to some false results. I'm a fan of testing things. I'm a big fan of data. And so I love that they are willing to experiment with things. Personally, I believe that moving the mound back would have a lot of unintended consequences that would more than outweigh the benefits. I think there are other ways to get the benefits of moving the mound back in different ways. You know, and I don't know how many of them are realistic, you know, but even just lowering the mound like they did after 1968 might be a partial solution. You know, I'm still a big proponent of limiting the number of pitchers on a roster. If every team only had 11 pitchers on the roster, so they only had 6 relief pitchers, starters would have to go deeper. Relief pitchers would have to go multiple innings sometimes. And that just almost by definition would cause pitchers to throw a little bit slower because they wouldn't necessarily be able to go all out all the time. And it's kind of funny, even, you know, you hear about old school pitchers and like Nolan Ryan, he says that every pitch he threw, he was going all out. Whereas Jim Cott said that he never threw a pitch at full effort in his whole 24-year career, whatever it was. You know, so it's always been a little bit of a question, but if you limited the number of pitchers, that would force pitchers to save a little bit in the tank. There's other ways to do it too. Other ideas that I have, but I don't love the idea of moving the mound back, but I am happy that they're willing to experiment with it. I just wish that there was a way to experiment in a way that we could trust the results. And more to the point, I don't trust Rob Manfred to be smart enough to learn the proper lessons from this. They could get perfect data, and I still wouldn't totally trust Manfred to use that data to implement changes that are good for baseball. I just don't think Rob Manfred is apparently a really good attorney, and that's great. You know, every organization needs a good attorney, but when your only qualification to run the company is that you are a good attorney, that's not good enough for me. Rob Manfred has never shown any actual skill set that says, oh, this is the guy we want running our multi-billion dollar organization. He just doesn't have that skill set. And so, you know, I'm willing to be proven wrong, but I don't believe that Rob Manfred has the analytical mind to look at the results of this experiment and make good decisions based on that. I also don't know that he has the humility or the good business sense to hire the people who do have those good analytical minds. So, you know, I'm interested to see how it goes in the Atlantic League, but I really don't like the idea of moving the mound back, partly from a traditionalist standpoint and partly because I think there are more effective and less intrusive ways of accomplishing the same thing. The goal is to have batters striking out less. I don't know that moving the mound back will do that because, you know, breaking balls have more time to break. You know, a curveball can move an extra, you know, however 6 inches when you with that extra foot. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but breaking balls will have more movement. Even, you know, fastballs have more drop. You know, that there's no such thing as a straight pitch. And so everything is moving one way or another, and more distance means more time to move. So I don't love the idea. I don't think it is the answer. And I just have my fingers crossed hoping that Rob Manfred doesn't screw this up like he tends to screw up anything involved with trying to make baseball better. So hashtag Jeff for commissioner. As you know, that is my campaign. I won't rest until I am the commissioner of baseball. But I am going to rest for now because it is currently 12:33 a.m. where I am on Thursday morning. And I am ready for bed. So I hope this will be sitting in your inbox when you wake up in the morning and you can listen. Thank you all for listening. I meant to mention this the other day. When I went to the home opener, I had like a dozen of you call out to me, come up to me, say, hey, I listen to your podcast. Hey, I follow you on Twitter. Hey, you know, and it was ridiculous. And I've the last few years, I've kind of gotten used to every once in a while, somebody will recognize me. And I do. I have Snydog written at Snydog written on the back of my jersey. Like, it's not like I know you guys don't recognize my face necessarily, but it's gratifying to me to see you guys. Like, when we're doing this podcast, you know, it's either me talking to myself or me and Vince talking to each other. And it was fun to see a lot of you, meet you guys and kind of see some of those faces and knowing you guys are listening, because I look at our numbers and there's a ton of you guys listening every day and it means a lot to me. And it was really fun to meet some of you guys. Hopefully I will be able to meet more of you this season. I don't know if I will be moving back to California temporarily again to go to any more games or if I'll wait until they open things up in June. But one way or another, I hope to get to a few more Dodger games this year and hopefully meet more of you guys. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being awesome. If you're not listening every day, we would love it if you would add more to your rotation, set it to download automatically. And, you know, just between you and me, if there's a day you can't listen to it, just go ahead and push play and, you know, set your phone down while you're doing something else. You don't even have to listen. Just play it, you know, but don't tell anybody I said that. But obviously we want you guys to listen as much as possible. Tell your friends who are Dodger fans. We'd love to hear more about it. I'm hopefully going to have Ryan Pepiot, Dodgers minor league pitcher, on as a guest sometime soon. I've been in touch with him. He's said he'd love to do the show, so it's just a matter of working out the details. I have a few other irons in the fire as far as guests to get on the show. And if you guys have any ideas for guests who, obviously we'd love to get the whole Dodgers roster, but if you have ideas for non-player guests, I'd love to hear them. Guys, people who we might be able to get on the show. So, where am I? Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!